What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 382, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Just getting everything up on all my million screens, making sure everything looks good.
Ryan does have started, like a right? cool...
Last week you had it going to Twitch. I don't see it kicked on today, so I think that was a mistake last week, though, right?
That was a mistake because I guess you can't. I don't. Did Twitch ever like implement those new rules that everybody like was talking about, where like you can't have?
Oh, where you could like they wanted to be the premiere still, or like
yeah, you know, like so they had all these things. That's why we took it off Twitch and we're on Twitter. Right. I do think Twitter's working on like a better. Thing for going live.
Better live stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they want Twitter to be like the be-all end
everything.
All of everything, yeah, it's kind of... which I think is a good idea for the platform, but I think that you have to roll these things out and like actually make them good. Not like, oh, we have this live stream thing. It kind of sucks. Nobody's really using it, but we have it. Like right. You want it to be good.
Yep.
But yeah, so yeah, we're live on, what do we do? We do YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Those are what we typically do. Sometimes we do Twitch. Of course, our gaming streams on Twitch, which Ryan will be running tonight. So we'll have all of that. We have Corey in the chat. Corey, how's it going? How's Pittsburgh? You still got to, I mean, my friend Corey always talks about how he wants to come out here, never comes out and visits. So hopefully he'll come visit me sometime. Maybe in the wintertime because it gets really cold. Much colder in Kansas?
No, it was like, almost up to 80 today, I think. But the other morning it was like 30 something, right? We had a freeze watch and everything. And so it's like we're having these big swings like overnight, you know.
It has gotten a little cold. When I mean cold, I mean like 50.
You won't get a sunburn when you go outside for
So but yeah, lots of stuff going on. Of course, we had a big launch this week. Ryan took a look at it might be one of my favorite products that you've reviewed just because of how cool they are. We're definitely going to get into that. I have a really cool new thing. And we have a really interesting question of the week this week, which I think will tie into a lot of the stories that we're going to be talking about. So we're going to jump right into it. Of course, guys, we do have a full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. All of the reviews, all of the articles, everything. So if you want to follow along, or if you are listening later and you want to know more about a product or about the news or whatever, you can find all of the you know relevant links and everything right there in the show notes page. Now we're going to start off with Ryan first. Do you have these like that you can show us? Or are you going to, will that mess you up? Are you all out of
sorts? I don't have them with me, no. And I got to thinking about it. I was like trying to get it to focus in on the camera, you know, like we do sometimes. Just wasn't, I don't think, going to make it like make sense that. But let me open this tab up. And
yeah, so Ryan took a look at these really cool artisan keycaps. And you see these like on Twitter and you see them, you know, online and they look so cool. And I still have never actually like really seen them in person, but Ryan reviewed the drop Lord of the Rings Mordor ones. And I have to say that, like, obviously, if you're not a fan of Lord of the Rings, you know, but if you, whatever you're a fan of or you want to show off, I think if you have the money and you really want to, like, again, whatever you're into, I think these artisan keycaps are just like awesome. Yeah,
they're pretty cool. You know, I'm not like a enormous Lord of the Rings fan by any means. I kind of talk about this in the review. I can appreciate what they've done for like fantasy world and pop culture, and like you can't deny that, like how big like that franchise became when those movies came out, right? A lot of people, you've got your hardcore OGs that are like, well, the books and the Hobbit, like that's my thing, and the movies don't match, right?
OGs,
what
was
that?
I don't know. Gang signs, dude.
All right, the OGs, yes. Yeah. And so, you know, there's either way, I think all of it was good for it. So it's just this huge franchise. And we've seen the pair up with Drop and Lord of the Rings on a couple of keyboards. You took a look at the Elvish one. Is that correct?
Yeah, the green one. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have like the green one. Recently, I took a look at the Black Speech keyboard, which was pretty cool. And they went ahead and sent us over their Mordor artisan keycap set. Now this is a pairing up between Drop and Dwarf Factory. I always want to say Dwarf Forge, but it's Dwarf Factory. And they have three artisan handcrafted mechanical keyboard keycaps that they've created for this and partnered up. And they come in these really cool, like, little boxes with a little slide out tab. You know, it's just a really nice unboxing experience with the keycaps. And I think you get that quite a bit on artisan keycaps because they want you to, you know, you're spending a decent amount of money on these keycaps. They want you to feel like you're getting your money's worth. And part of that is the unboxing experience. So they come in a little pouch. They're nicely protected with some foam in there. And you get a couple accessories that come with it. Bob had shown me this one video of this social media video, this guy that had on these little like black finger things. And I was like, why is he wearing those? And then I realized, oh, hey, guess what? It comes with two of them, right? So you get these little kind of like finger glove things to give you some grip on the keycap. I guess you could, at first I was like, oh, and it's to make sure that you don't get fingerprints on your keycaps. And then logic struck in and I'm like, well, they're keycaps, so they're probably going to get fingerprints on them. So anyways, they're super high polished. So those will help you get them on there. They also have these little stickers in case your stems from your switches, you know, become worn or the keycap is warm or they just don't match up perfectly to like have a solid fit. You can put these little stickers over your stem and then put the keycap on there and it kind of fills the void in there.
You never want to, just in general, you never want a keycap to be loose. It's just not a good experience.
I mean, I've got like one on my escape keyboard or escape key on this keyboard and it's one that I 3D printed and my printer isn't the greatest and I could probably like tune the print model a little bit. So it's a little loose, right? It's not the best, but these fit perfectly on the keyboard that I put them on, which was obviously that Black Speech keyboard from Drop. So we'll just kind of
Just like, so people know, it's just a, like, these will fit like a Cherry MX stem.
Correct. Yeah, it's a standard Cherry MX stem fitting for these switch keycaps. Here's just a kind of a quick look at some of the detail on
That's crazy.
And there's like, you know, the coloring looks good. The modeling is good. You've got this,
Is that like a resin?
Yeah. So it's a resin material. Nice and clear. Like you can see that it's clear, but with the background and the angle here, it looks like maybe it's not clear, but if you get it the right angle and hold it right, like it's crystal clear all the way through there. No bubbling or anything like that. Just a nice high quality presentation. Here's where we've got that Cherry MX stem on the bottom. These are nice and sturdy as well. You've got, you know, a nice connectivity between the resin and the molded piece. Like there's no like gaps or like seam. It's all just a solid piece there, which is really nice. You don't have to really, you know, worry about these things falling apart by any means with them. So like I said, there's three designs. First one up that I took a look at was the Morgul Felbeast, the Nazgul ride, right when they're flying around hunting after everybody. Just kind of that cool dragon wraith type creature there perched on a platform. Like I said, a lot of color with this one. There's some cool like fade of on the tail. Let me see here. I think this picture shows it best. Sort of. There's just like this cool color fade. So it's not like they're just like solid pieces, right? You have these colors that shift and different finishes as well, right? There's some matte finishes. There's some metallics in here. They just look amazing overall. We've got Sauron here with his helm. Nice glowing eyes and nose hole there. But again, it's like it looks metallic in there, right?
The amount of detail in such, because again, if you think of a key, I mean, I'm looking at them right here, like keycaps aren't necessarily big and the amount of detail is just crazy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're nuts. Like, and the, you know, they're, like I said, handcrafted. So you've got a lot of attention to detail on these items, you know, just the nice scroll work here. Again, the metallic, it looks like these are like hard metal pieces encapsulated in this resin, which is really cool. They did a good job of making them look authentic and pretty realistic. And I love the eye. The eye is my favorite.
Out of the three, I have to say the eye is my favorite too. Everybody knows the eye. Like even if you're not a big Lord of the Rings fan, like you know the eye.
Absolutely. And it looks great. Like from the side, you can see like the little split in the eye there. Crazy. The Let's see here. Yeah, another from the side here. Wow. Just all the way the flame just like is detailed. It's not just like a flat surface that's been painted. It's a three-dimensional surface that's been painted and looks like flames and everything. So yeah, these are pretty awesome. Here it is on the corner on the escape key of that keyboard. Looks good.
It just like these just add so much. Like, again, you don't realize it until you have it on the keyboard, you know, how good they look. And especially compared to like the normal keycaps. I mean, they just look awesome.
Right. Now, these are a SA-R1 form factor. They don't actually match the form factor of the keycaps that come with this keyboard, which is kind of disappointing. They are a different design, but I think you end up with a better like shaped product with these because you don't have that super deep dip that come in the factory keycaps of this keyboard. So these are great for like, you know, your function row, escape, you know, things like that. I've got them on the arrow key because I thought they looked good here with the eye on the keyboard in the background there. But one thing I want to note is that these aren't necessarily made for any pass-through lighting. So if you've got these on a keyboard that is illuminated with RGB or whatever color LEDs, you're not going to get any of that shine through from the bottom. Because like we showed previously, they've got that solid bottom to them.
Yeah.
So there's really nowhere for light to come up through the switch, the keycap, and shine through. It's not like that eye is going to glow or anything. That would have been really cool if they could done that. Make like the stem, center stem part clear. Not the case. You do get a little glow, though, around there. And you can see that in like this picture here. Right. We're getting some glow from around like this up key and some of the others, and depending on what angle you're looking at it, they kind of glow on the outside.
Yeah,
but don't expect these things to really light up like real keycaps. So again, I love these things. I think they're really cool, a good idea. You are going to pay for them though. I did give this a 10 out of 10 because I can't find anything wrong with these. I think they're an awesome addition to your mechanical keyboard if you are one of those people that enjoys those. Handcrafted design, they've got a good variety, right? It's not like they just did one type of item. They've got a couple to choose from,
because I think for a lot of people too, like, you're not going to outfit your entire keyboard with these. I mean, that would be incredibly expensive, but a lot of people, like you do, like maybe the arrow keys, maybe like a function row, or maybe even a number pad. Like if you have a separate number pad, it's going to look cool. And again, this is not just a functional item, but it's part of your desk setup, which again, people love to customize, and it just looks cool as you're looking down on it. So yeah, I mean, how much is each one? 65?
Yeah, so these are each $65. So like I said, there's a cost associated with these, and that's really the only actual downside I see, right? Artisan equal expensive is what I put on the cons, right? You're gonna pay for that quality there, and they're kind of a niche product. Obviously they've done their work to research and decide whether or not they wanted to come out with this product. They obviously did, so there's a market there for that, which is great. But again, I gave it a 10 out of 10. MX switch compatible, so throw these on a Cherry MX board, throw them on your Corsair keyboard, your HyperX, whatever it is, as long as it's got that MX switch stem, you'll be good to go. So definitely like these.
Nice. I'm jealous because those are super awesome. It makes me like think about like actually buying artisan keycaps now, just like because I saw your, because you can, again, I always trust Ryan's judgment, and like again, they look amazing. So I might pick up a couple for this keyboard, maybe just something cool, you know.
I mean, like at work, I have I use a low profile keyboard at work, right? Low profile Cherry Speeds, I believe. And on the escape key, I've taken that low profile cap off, and I have that HyperX. The cat one that we got at CES. Yeah. So I throw that on there.
It's just like cool.
Like, what is that on your keyboard? Yeah. But yeah, it's just a little, flare.
Yeah, it's a nice little desk accessory. So really cool. Absolutely. Really cool to see that. In the chat, we have Dave Ritchie. He said he's been listening to the podcast for a couple of months. First time catching live. Nice. And he said he's up in Erie, which is a couple hours away from Pittsburgh. So good to see another local PA person in the chat. Erie is such a fun place, by the way. I used to go up there a lot, checking out the lake. And it's like, if you're from Pittsburgh, it's like the beach that you, the closest beach, it's a lake, but it's a beach, and it actually feels like a beach. So yeah, good to see him in there. And of course we have Old Man in the chat as well. Good to see you here in the live chat as well. So good to see a lot of people here.
Corey was asking, are the keycaps labeled on top? No, there's no like labeling on them or anything.
You can place these
wherever you want.
Yeah. No legends, nothing like that.
Right.
So you gotta make sure you remember which key you put it on. You know, that's why like a lot of people just buy one or buy like maybe like four and do like,
or F1 like the through four. Enter or backspace shift keys. Yeah. That's where you see a lot of them.
I have seen, I think it was on Twitter or might've been on Reddit where somebody like had an entire keyboard that was all custom key, like crazy weird custom keycaps. It was like,
if it wasn't your daily typing thing, I can see it. But yeah, if you're trying to type on this thing that's got all sorts of like funky shapes and everything like we've seen, it might be a little difficult.
Yeah. So Intel 14th gen processors launched on Tuesday. Yep. With that, we have a bunch of new motherboards. A lot of them were previously announced, but a lot of people weren't really testing them because they were made for 14th gen. I don't even know what that means really, because it's the same chip. Like they're the same. You know what
I mean? There's been so many memes like in the last week.
Yeah, we put a couple up on Twitter and on Facebook as well.
Did you put one up of the dad with the shirt? It was the same shirt. That one got me good.
And that has to do with the processors.
Right.
You know, the motherboards, these are new motherboards. They have added features, so they're not the same as the previous ones. But again, you know, you can run a 14th gen on a Z790 board that came out day one of Z790. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we took a look at the Gigabyte Z790 Aorus Elite X. I actually got a sneak peek of this about a month ago. Gigabyte had an event here in San Diego, so I got to see it there. This is sort of like their more entry-level board into their Z70 line. So it doesn't have all of the features you may want in a Z790 motherboard, but it has a lot of stuff, and they've added some new things. So obviously right off the bat, Wi-Fi 7. So you're going to get Wi-Fi 7 with this. Basically just future-proofs yourself. There's not a whole lot of Wi-Fi 7 gear out there per se. But again, if you are running the Wi-Fi on this board, it's going to be incredibly fast if you have the hardware to support it, be your router or your modem. This board is pretty interesting. I think the biggest things that I see with this board is, one, it has USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. So nice. The cool thing about Gigabyte, and they've done this for a while now, is they're giving you that connection on the rear I/O. A lot of motherboard companies, they'll give you a USB 3.2 Gen 2 on the rear I/O, but the 2x2 is what a lot of people like me want. I have super fast portable SSDs. I want that Type-C connection. I don't want to have to either have it connected through a case or connected through another adapter from the header on the board. So it's nice that they have that here. You do get that, which I really like.
For me, though, I almost want it up front on a case, because if I'm always like plugging and unplugging, I don't want to be behind my case.
True. Very true. It makes sense.
At least in my setup, right? I've got this huge case and it's almost hard to get to the backside of it. So
that makes a lot of sense. And that's why a lot of companies do that. Mm-hmm. The issue is that if this is a 2x2, that header, that like connection has to be a 2x2 for it to run at that speed.
Right.
And a lot of cases don't have the 2x2. So that's the issue that you get into, where you have this 2x2 connection, but then
no way to hook it up. Yeah.
No, you can connect it. But it's going to
You're just not going to get the right.
You're not going to get the full speed. Bandwidth. So that's why I just like it on the rear I/O, at least for me. But they also have this really cool system for installing M.2 drives that is the easiest system that I've ever used. So here is where a lot of your M.2 drives are right here. And you see this little lever. All you do is you just lift that lever up and the heatsink just comes off. Just comes off. And when you put it back down, it just snaps into place. You'll notice on the actual M.2 drives, you have the same type of lever, same thing, but they're not as heavy due to this. So these are plastic, these are metal. But the same thing with the M.2, you just press it down and it snaps into place. easiest installation of M.2s. And if you've been using M.2s for a while, especially on certain motherboards, like those little screws, you lose.
Oh, yeah.
They like I've had times where like I'm installing an M.2 and like that screw is because it's so small it falls and it's gone. Like I can't find
it. You have to like, especially if like, yeah, you got the motherboard mounted in the case and everything. If you didn't do it outside, you're like lifting up the case, like trying to shake it and angle it so it falls out. Yeah, it's a pain. I've had that.
Yeah, so this saves so much time. And it just makes things so much easier. As you can see, this board does have four M.2 slots. They're all Gen 4. So like I said, this is more of a value board. You're going to get Gen 5 on your PCI Express slot, but you won't get Gen 5 storage. So that's a trade-off with this board. But I do like four Gen 4s. I mean, can't complain about that. And those are plenty fast enough.
And yeah, they're fast enough for just about everybody's need cases.
Yeah, the top one does have a larger heatsink too. But again, for most Gen 4 stuff, you won't need like a massive heatsink, but you do get that there. It's also worth noting that they've reinforced this PCI Express slot. And you'll see this on a lot of the new Gigabyte boards. This is actually a piece of metal. And if you flip the board over, there's a backplate behind it as well. So it's going to give you that support for that slot, especially again, because you know these graphics cards keep on getting bigger and bigger. Think of like how big the 4090 is. So it's going to really protect that slot. And one thing that's nice too is on that slot, there is this little tab here. So I have had this with like test benches that I've had for like a long time is, you know, swapping out graphics cards, doing everything. You have this large M.2 heatsink and trying to press this right here, this little tab is so hard because a lot of the times I have to put a screwdriver down in there and like scratch up the back of my graphics card just to access. And it just happens. So what they've done is they have added this extra little tab here. It's out of the way of the M.2. It's super simple. You know what I mean? Like it's out of the way over here, super simple. And yeah, so that's like, I call like this kind of upgrade for Gigabyte. It's like the ease of use upgrade because it gives you a lot of these upgrades that just make the installation or upgrade or just maintenance part of these boards a lot easier.
We've come a long way from the little plastic tab that you had to like fold to the side. You remember that? It was like this is great.
Yeah, so you have that with this board too. So lots of like, again, nice upgrades there. But again, this is a Z790 board, so it's going to give you kind of everything else. There's not much else to really talk about with this board. 16 plus 1 plus 2 power phase design. The original Z790 Elite X had the same one. Not much else has really changed on this board beyond that. But it is nice to see a refresh, and it is nice to see they updated their BIOS as well. So in the review, we have a BIOS video if you want to check it out. And they have updated their software as well. So we have a full walkthrough, a video on the BIOS. They have added a lot. Gigabyte's BIOS for like the longest time was not my favorite. It just wasn't. This is a nice upgrade. It still has some quirks about it, I would say, but it is a nice upgrade. They've added a lot of really nice features, some instant overclocking features, some instant DDR5 overclocking features, what I think a lot of people will appreciate as well. So check out our video on our YouTube of the BIOS as well. And then they have upgraded their software. So I don't know, Ryan, if you've ever used the Gigabyte.
I haven't, but I'm not going to use it on my new build. I have a Gigabyte board coming to me, an Aorus board. But
well, they now have a new control center, allows you to download everything, which I like. Some people aren't fans of this. Like, this gets installed when you load into Windows for the first time. So you can turn that off in the BIOS if you want, but I would just do it. It has all your drivers, everything. And it's just like a newer looking control center, allows you to run RGB Fusion. You get fan controls in there for all the headers, and then you can do like your system tuning and things like that in here as well. Nice little update.
So RGB Fusion's built into that?
Yes.
Application?
Yeah. Okay. And we've seen a bunch of companies do this over the years. You know, we have Armory Crate on the Asus side. I don't know what MSI's is called. I forget. But this is so much better because I remember when we started getting this software for our motherboards, it was great, but you'd have to download every little piece of software. Yes. In previous to this, that's how Gigabyte did it. You would have, I forget what it was called before, but you'd have to download every little app and it was just annoying. And I think that's even still how ASRock does it, is you have to download every little app. So it's nice to see those, you know, ease of use, upgrades on this. So, just to talk about 14th gen, we tested this with a 14700K, good overall. And the thing you'll notice about the 14 series when it comes to memory is this is going to support higher frequency memory. So, you know, you're going to be able to get kits that are running at like, you know, 7,000 up to 8,000, you know, 8,200, 8,300 megahertz. So you're going to see a lot of that stuff come out. A lot of those DIMMs are going to be a lot more available because of this, because this is going to run it a lot easier because the new 14th gen processors do have a better memory controller. So you're going to see that with this. But overall, I really like this board. I'm a big ease of use person because, again, if you're running this in something like a test bench, I am swapping out hardware a lot. It just makes it easier. I also like it because a first-time builder, like, you're not sure how to do M.2s. Like, it couldn't be easier. So it just, again, it just makes it so much easier for that first time builder. So I really liked it. I believe I gave it a 9 out of 10. Gave it a 9 out of 10. And we have a link where you can go ahead and pick it up if you would like to, but I do like that board. So we have a lot of stuff going on in the chat. Corey says Wi-Fi 7 worth it right now. Does iPhone 15 Pro support it? I don't think it does. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Wi-Fi 7 is worth it right now. It hasn't even been officially ratified, right? So yeah. you're such a small percentage of devices.
The hardware is going to be so expensive right now too. And then the nominal gain, like if you're, I think most people, if you have invested in the hardware. So again, like you can get a product that has Wi-Fi 7, but if you have like a AC 1900 router, you're not going to run at those Wi-Fi 7 speeds. So I think most people, if you had invested in a really nice router, it's probably running Wi-Fi 6 or Wi-Fi 6E. I don't necessarily see the need to update right now, especially considering when Wi-Fi stuff, Wi-Fi 7 routers and things become more available, they're going to be really expensive off the bat, right? And again, not a lot of hardware is going to support that, and you're not really going to make the cost is not going to be worth it. I would say I would again give it like, what do you think, 2 years, 3 years?
Maybe not that. I mean, yeah, two maybe. And yeah, you know, like you're saying, like just because your device and maybe your access point or your router support that, like sure, your device can talk to that, but then where's it going after that? Are you just running like 100 meg internet? Like, what are you doing, right? If your NAS is only connected on a gig connection or something, like you're not taking full advantage of that Wi-Fi bandwidth available. There's obviously other advantages to Wi-Fi 7 outside of just the speed, but that's where most people equate that to. So
yeah, that's the thing too, is like I have a really nice Asus router, Wi-Fi 6 router, and like I can fully max out my fiber. So I have like, you know, gig fiber, I can fully max that out with that router. Now, if I had like the previous router that I had, which I don't even remember what that was. Maybe it was a Synology. I forget. But I mean, it was slower. So I couldn't. That would probably give me like 300, maybe 300 instead of like 1,000, right? That I'm getting with Asus. So that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize you get these new products that say, that supports this, you know, it supports that, whatever it may be. But going back to the source, that also has to support it. So you want to make sure you have that fast router. And that's why you see very similar looking routers. One is $79.99 and one is $299, like $299. That's the difference because of the speeds that you're going to get. So again, see what type of internet connection you have, right? What Spectrum or Comcast or Cox, like what is your actual speeds, and then get a router based on that speed. You know what I mean? Is that the right advice? You're the network guy.
Oh, sure. That's fine.
So talking about, well, actually, before we go to 14th Gen, we'll go over to Casemon Friday. And this week we have a really cool build from Declassified Systems. I haven't featured one of his builds in a while. And I'm always a big fan of his bends that he does in his cases, because they're kind of like just different. Like, they're not, what would you call that? Like, they're not practical in a cooling sense. They're made to be art and look really,
and they're
cool.
Usually always kind of this design, aren't they, where they almost looks like they're spiraled together almost when you first look at it.
Yeah, very much so.
This is an interesting mix of frosted and non-frosted. I almost wish that the reservoir was frosted, like they would have sanded it up.
Because
that color throws me off.
It does. I just thought of that.
It just shows you though how much the frosting of the tubes changes the color of your coolant when it's
since we first saw frosted tubing, I've always been a fan. It's just looks so cool. Like, if I was ever to do a water cooling, like, I would want frosted tubes, I would think. Just, it just looks so cool to me. But this is a Gundam theme build, which is cool. It has the Gundam motherboard from, who is this? It's an Asus board, I believe. In there from the Gundam theme board. And just, again, the centerpiece of this is that, well, you know, that water cooling that's just very symmetrical, and it just looks super cool. This is the Thermaltake Core P3, which is, again, a very much a show-off case, as you can see. It doesn't look as bad here, right?
That angle.
But with the lights turned off, you can really tell that blue just looks a lot different. But yeah, look at these bends. How hard is this bend?
Those are all 90s, right? So they're not, the bend isn't hard, but it's matching up that second bend to
be with the third bend.
Second one with the third, so that everything's lined up. That's the hard part.
I feel like it hurts my head to think about it.
Does a pretty good job with it. I wish there was a little more red on this, a little more red and yellow.
Yeah. Yeah, to match kind of more of the Gundam.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like it overall. It's cool. It's cool. Definitely something you could see this like on a wall, right? Because these core cases from Thermaltake, they do have VESA mounts on them, which is super cool, on the backside. So you could easily mount this on the wall. But yeah, nice showpiece there from Declassified Systems. And we have links to all of this stuff. So if you want to check out a bunch of his builds, you can go ahead and do that. Now we're going to talk about 14th Gen. So it's official. We have 14th Gen. It's a refresh. Is there anything about that you saw, Ryan, about 14th Gen that is worth noting or worth talking about? I looked at some reviews. Obviously, I have the 14700 here, 700K here.
And I skipped through them, to be honest. Like, the ones that I looked at, I just like skipped through. Because I knew that it was, you know, what we were going to consider a refresh. And that's what a lot of people in their conclusions were saying, right? There was just not that much to be excited about. You know, a lot of folks were saying, well, it's just like the 13th gen here. So not from me personally, nothing like crazy that sticks out where it's like, hey, this is like finally, you know, or we've been waiting for this processor the advancements it brings. That's just not here with this.
I think on the high end, I saw like the 14900K is about 5% faster in gaming overall. But again, I think that, and we'll talk about this at the end of the podcast, because that's where our question of the week comes in when it talks about this. Like, you know, new products coming out, right? But like, everybody knows that it's a refresh. It's not new architecture. We're not going, we're not bringing the size of the chip down or the fabrication process. Like, it's just a refresh. So basically the refresh is just for people that maybe didn't upgrade, right? When the 13th gen came out, and then like, maybe it's time to upgrade, or like, again, people just building a new system. Here's the newest one.
Yep.
And it is also so Intel can be like, we have the fastest gaming processor until like AMD 3 months from now comes out with something, or like, you know what I mean?
No, I think you're right. And I was going to say, like, this is the processor. If you're building a brand new box, right? You're like, well, like, go with this. Don't go with the 13th gen. Just go with this newer version, right? That's who I think this is for. You're not going to update or upgrade from a 13th gen to a 14th gen, hopefully, right? Like, there's really no reason unless you're going from low-end 13 to high-end 14, but that just is a weird
We always say this too when it comes to refreshes or even generations of products. Like, if you're on the previous generation, most of the time it's not worth upgrading. You don't get those big incremental updates the next product, right? It usually comes two or three generations later, then it's time to upgrade. You know what I mean? Like, I have a 5800X3D in my main system. I don't plan on upgrading this system for like at least 2 years. At least.
You have a what? More. You don't have a 5800X 3D.
Don't I? Is that some?
What's, no. Or
5900.
So,
I have a 5900X. Hold on. Let me see what I have in here.
I don't even know what I have in here. I was like, I've got the 5800X.
Let's see.
But yes, yeah, like the, if you're, you know, a couple generations back or you're just coming in
5950X, sorry.
Okay.
This is, right. Yeah, it's a 16 core. I knew it was, but like, yeah, so like this is even like at least a generation old, you know, mm-hmm. like, and we're going to come on to the next generation next year. So again, like, I don't plan on upgrading this anytime soon. And the system I had before I built this, that thing was getting old. I built this about this time last year, right? Like about a year ago, I built this.
Yeah.
And that system was like an Intel high-end desktop. And I mean, I had been running that for a while. The only thing I had upgraded was like the storage, like to M.2s. And then I had upgraded the graphics card. And I have a 3090. It serves my needs. If anything, I would upgrade to a 40 series that I have here just for efficiency reasons, right? And heat reasons, because this 3090 just gets super hot. But again, like, I just think that there's nobody really on 13th gen that's like, I'm gonna upgrade, you know?
Yeah, there shouldn't be anyways.
Yeah, so like, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to talk about with 14th gen. Again, this is a refresh and everybody needs to realize that, and it's
I know I saw a story about some overclocking. I didn't
see any of that stuff yet. Okay. I haven't tried to overclock this either, at least yet.
I don't remember what they got. I mean, it was pretty crazy. I'd have to find it.
I mean, you are going to get
that now.
You are going to get better efficiency. That usually happens with the refresh. Like I said, you do have better memory controller on it as well. So again, kits that are going to come out that are like in the 70, you know, 7700, 8000, 8200, like those might not even run on a 13th gen processor, but they will run no problem on a 14th gen because you have the better memory controller. Beyond that, again, slightly faster, not by a lot, not this generational thing,
right?
And I think, again, us, like, we understand that, but I think a lot of people out there in the like Reddit world and Twitter world, like, just don't understand that, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, talking about refreshes, we have some two really stories that are just I'm not a fan of here when it comes to graphics cards. So when we've talked about this, I'll try to go over it really quickly. Typically, when graphics cards launch, especially on the NVIDIA side, we have like a 90 series, an 80 series, a 70 series, a 60 series, 50, you know, goes down the line. And then the refresh is typically TI cards that sit in the middle, right? They'll give you more performance. But this launch, obviously, we've seen a 4070 Ti, you know, launch at the same time. We saw a 4060 Ti launch at the same time. All that, it's confusing. So the latest rumor now is that Supers are coming back for a refresh.
I haven't bought my new card yet. Maybe this is when I do it. The one that gets me though is the 4070 Ti Super.
Yeah. There's, again, like, I get the refresh. I get why they do it. But it's, the thing is like, initially somebody messed up. Somebody in NVIDIA marketing thought they could get away with with the 4080 and the 4080 12 gigabyte, and that messed everything up. That's where we're getting TIs and everything like that. And the thing that bothers me, and I'm sure same thing with you, Ryan, is that this is incredibly confusing to the consumer, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between a TI and a super? Like,
we don't know yet. I mean,
yeah. And if you go on the previous generation, again, like the super should
previous be the gen didn't even have a super.
Yeah. So like, it's so confusing. And again, we had this system and the system was great. You knew that the higher number was the better one. You knew that a 4090 was better than a 4080. Like, you knew that. And it just, but then now we have TIs now, we have supers, they're all launching at the same time or some later. Like, what's the difference? Is a TI better than a super or vice versa? Like, it's so confusing to the consumer. And that's why I assume that's what's going to happen here. And we're supposed to get a 4080 TI too, right, coming as well. So,
I mean, we've been talking, like, you've got to have that refresh, right? Your shareholders and everything aren't going to allow you to just not release anything. It's just unfortunate that this is the way it's happening, right? I would have loved to see just the 40 series, and then we get our 40 series TIs, and then maybe a super, right? Just in order that makes sense. Because like you said, it's confusing. What's better, a TI and a super? Or when they do launch them, they need to have very clear marketing and information regarding which one is better and this and that, because while pricing will probably show and match that, it's not always 100% true.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, what if there's a sale,
right?
You know, it's incredibly confusing. This is just a rumor. We don't know if this is confirmed or not, but I assume that's what they're probably going to do, just because, like, what would you name the refreshes? Unless you're going to do like a 4075, you know, or something, you know, So we'll see if that's the case, but that's the first one. This second one is also, it's so confusing to the consumer. And we're not sure if these are going to launch in the American market, but did launch in the Chinese market. So we talked about rumors of an RX 6750 GRE, stands for Golden Rabbit Edition. So there's two cards. You have the 6750 GRE 10 gigabyte and the 6750 GRE 12 gigabyte. Now, if you looked at this, picture that I have on the screen here, what are the difference between the two cards?
2 gigs and DRAM, $20. Right? Yep, that's
it. You would think that as a consumer. You would think so. Absolutely. Think that. But they have two different GPUs. This is what I mean. It's, you can't call it the same thing.
Right, like, why are they stuck on it the same thing?
It's insane. I don't even want to talk. I don't care about this. I don't care about the prices. I don't care about anything. I'm so mad that this is what it's come to, that one, you're launching two of these with a 2 gig VRAM difference, which I would love to see somebody test these two. And
right.
See
if they were identical other than 2 gigs, right? Yeah. Like, why even bother?
Yeah. So the 6750, the 12 gigabyte has the Navi 22 XT GPU with 2560 stream processors, and the 6750 GRE 10 gigabyte is the Navi 22, the non-XT, and it has 2304 stream processors. The memory buses are different as well. 92-bit memory bus on the 12 gigabytes, 160-bit on the, like, none of this makes sense. None of it.
Right.
Like, call it a different, call it a 67. We already have 67, like
6650 GRE, right?
Or something. Oh, it's so frustrating, because again, first time PC buyer goes into the store, he sees these, right? I probably guarantee on the front of that box, like on the front of the box, it's just going to say 6750 GRE 10 gigabyte, 6750 GRE 12 gigabyte. It's not going to say Navi 22. And again, first time buyer has no clue what Navi means. Yeah. Yep. It is so incredibly frustrating that this is what's happening. And NVIDIA started it with the 4080 debacle, and it just seems like things are just getting dumber in this space. It's so incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it's confusing. And as, again, we're enthusiasts. We know about this stuff. We keep up with it, obviously, because we, run a tech website. But for the normal consumer, they would have no clue. And they don't know that they're getting a different GPU. They don't know, you know what I mean? They don't know that the memory bus is different, which makes a big difference in, memory bandwidth. Like, it's, I'm not a fan. Not a fan at all.
No.
So moving on from that, talking about graphics cards, we have two graphics cards that have hidden power connectors. So Galax actually released a special edition 4090. It looks actually pretty cool because all this like lights up. This is like acrylic on the top. It all lights up, but the power connector is on the back side of the card, and it's sort of hidden. It's really hard to see in these pictures, and nobody has like a... Here's like it right here. So obviously the connector's down here, and it's on the back side of the card, and the power connector goes out.
That's in what I've been saying is why haven't we gotten this? Finally, we're getting these.
Yeah, I think so it's great. I like the next one a lot better. Maybe if I saw like more of this. This is just like somebody who saw this, like who got this card somehow. Because again, this is a special edition card, but like that's on the back. And again, you can kind of see. I think this little section opens up.
Yeah, it comes off. Yep.
Yeah. And the next card that we'll look at is very much the same. So the next card is from Colorful. And this implementation is really great as well. So as you can see here, this, gets to the back. And I really like this because, again, the PCBs on these cards are not all that big. So this comes in from the back and connects and goes out the back and likely goes right into that cable routing hole in your case, right? Right out there, so you have a clean look.
Yeah, is that a clear plastic cover, or are they just showing?
I think they're just showing it because the card's going to look like this. It's kind of hard to see in this picture, guys, but here's the cutoff right here. So I don't know if you just remove these three screws, or it looks like, what does the other picture show? Yeah, it looks like there's like four screws that would come off. That off and do it. Yeah, I like that so much better. As much as we do like these like custom cables that you can show off and stuff, but like
I'd rather having, just no cable.
Yeah, no cable is the much cleaner look, and I do like it. So that's pretty
or
cool.
If that
Ryan just froze. Ryan just completely froze. Guys, let me know if you can hear me, or maybe I froze and got disconnected, but it looks like Ryan completely froze. So let me know in the chat. Because Ryan is completely frozen on my screen. So we'll see if he comes back or not. We will have to see. Yeah, Ryan froze. Ryan has been having computer issues. We had this before in our gaming stream. So we'll wait for him to hopefully come back. But yeah, pretty cool to see this stuff. Just because, like, again, having that clean look in your system is much better. And you don't have to worry. Like, if you're not a fan of these sleeve cables, you don't have to worry about like buying a sleeve cable or anything like that. Oh, Ryan's back. What happened?
It's weird. You were like, I froze, and I was like, no, I didn't. I can see you. I can hear you. I'm moving. Everything.
I thought I might have got disconnected because, like, a lot of times, like, you'll still be talking and like you're not in the stream anymore. So,
no, that was weird. Yeah, I could hear you the whole time. And you're like, well, Ryan disconnected. He's been having problems with it. I'm like,
yeah,
no.
you have been having problems. So, I like this design. As I said, pretty cool to see. So, hopefully, we see more companies implement this because it's just a much cleaner look for your graphics card for sure. And again, it keeps it out of the way too. Like, you open your system up and like you bump that cable, and then, like, again, we've all the issues with cables that we've seen and graphics cards melting, like, you wouldn't have to worry about bumping that cable necessarily too, which is definitely nice there as well. So cool to see that. Okay, so this is something that I saw that I was like, because it's currently, I don't know if you guys can see this, if I put it up here, it is going to be backwards, but it's 80 degrees in this room right now.
That's crazy.
It's hot.
I mean, so I guess mine's saying 77, which is, it doesn't feel
this
that
next. Well. This next story is this new gaming chair from Cougar that has a massive fan in the back. And I'm kind of, I might I don't know. I might have to invest in this. I think Ryan froze again. He's having crazy issues. Oh, nope, you're back. But this gaming chair has what looks like a... How big is that fan?
It looks like millimeter? At least a 200 millimeter, maybe like a 220 or 40.
Yeah, a massive fan in there. Of course, it's RGB lit. Has to be. To cool you off. My back is sweating right now, so I think this would be awesome to have.
Products I've seen that have fans, like the very first article I wrote when I wrote a tech article for another site was where I modified a mouse and put a fan in it. Oh, so it was like blowing to keep your hand cold. And it was like a gimmick, obviously, right? Like, but these did come out later on. But every time I've seen like where there's just a fan blowing directly on you that close, it's like okay for 5 minutes. And then you get tired of the airflow on you.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
This might work, and right, but I don't usually get too warm like now, sitting.
This
here.
Makes me think that there might be like batteries, which I the little.
But just think of how long you could probably run a fan like that.
Does it say
like
$400?
Oof. Okay. Plug and play. Power bank slot.
So it's gonna have maybe it's a rechargeable battery that you can go in there. I mean, I would like it for situations like this where like I'm it's hot in this room, and obviously I don't have like fans running in here because we're doing the pot. Although it makes you wonder how this fan can't be that loud.
Yeah, it's probably not spinning that fast. You know, just like the cases I've looked at that have had 100, like 200 millimeter fans, they're spinning very slow comparatively to, you know, smaller fans. You don't hear them at all.
Yeah, so interesting to see. Maybe we'll try to get one to review and see if it actually, like, I'd love to test it out during a podcast where like I'm actually sweating right now. So
cool.
Yeah, good to know, right? So go to see that from Cougar. And so Scuf, which we actually, I only knew about Scuf because Corsair had bought them like what, like 4 years ago or something?
It was like 2019, I think, because it had happened right before or direct during CES.
Yeah, so Scuf, they make really highly customizable game controllers, and they were mainly doing it for Xbox, PlayStation, giving you the ability to remap these keys and having a lot more keys than your traditional controller. Well, they finally made like a controller that's specifically made for PC gamers. So this is their Envision. They have a normal version and a pro version, 11 programmable buttons, and it's kind of hard to see, but you get like you get different profiles, which is nice. You know, so like, again, a lot of the controllers are like made for console first, and then they're like, oh, it's compatible with PC, but it doesn't, there's not great software. This is going to work with Corsair software. I'm not a controller person, but there are a lot of controller PC specific gamers that want something that's like really made for the PC gaming experience, not something that was like made for Xbox or PlayStation. And then, you know, it works on PC, right? But it's not great. So $129.99.
I like it for driving and flying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Driving games for sure. Flying games also. $129.99 for the Envision, and the Pro is $179.99.
They're not cheap, but they are very nice. I mean, I have my Scuf controller right over here still.
Yeah, super nice, high quality, lots of customization, even customization to like adjusting the resistance on like the joysticks and stuff, and you can move them in and out and like
bigger depth and
lots of stuff that you can do that, like if you think of like your standard Xbox or PlayStation controller, that you can't do that. Yeah. That for that. And then the last thing, Epic Games Store, we all know about it. If you don't know about it, that's like essentially another version of Steam, but it's run through Epic, the same people who do Fortnite. And they have their own game store. launcher, same type of thing, right? When they first launched it, which was what, maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Oh, at least, yeah.
They paid companies, or they paid game developers to have exclusives, right?
Right.
Exclusives on the Epic Game Store. So I forget what were some of the big ones that were exclusive? Do you remember?
No, because it was that was a very early on piece of their store.
Yeah, but there was there was a couple big games that were Epic Games exclusives. I forget. So they would pay large sums of hundreds of thousands of dollars to game developers to be like, hey, launch it on the Epic Games Store first. And then in 6 months, you can put it out on all the other platforms like Steam and whatever, Windows Store, everything like that, right? And who knows how much money they spent on that, because there was even non-big games that were Epic Game Store exclusives. And it seems money is getting tighter, as we've been talking about the last few episodes. So they're starting this new thing called Epic First Run, and now on Epic Program. So the Epic First Run, basically what they're doing is they're going to allow developers to put their game on the Epic Game Store as an exclusive. So again, that's why it's called Epic First Run. And they'll get 100% of the revenue in the first 6 months. I don't know if it has to be an exclusive, but at least the first 6 months, you'll get 100% of the revenue. So the way that these game stores work is that the game store, Epic Game Store or Steam, they take a cut. And I think Steam's is 70-30. So 70% goes to the developer, 30% goes to Steam. When Epic Games launched, theirs was 88% to the developer, which is obviously a lot better, 22% to Epic Games Store. So they're doing this thing now where, again, when you launch on Epic Games, you get 100% for the first 6 months. So it seems like this exclusive is definitely paid exclusives isn't happening anymore. This is another way to kind of get people to launch on the Epic Game Store first, possibly. I mean, it makes sense for them, right?
Yeah.
To lure people to be like, hey, it's going to be on the Epic Game Store because they want 100% of that revenue. But I do feel that, again, and I think a lot of people are just like, Steam's a much better product in general compared to all the other launchers, at least in my opinion. But yeah, interesting to see. We'll see if we see any exclusives or anything like that. Or if companies just be like, yeah, we'll just launch it regularly on all the platforms.
I could see this being more lucrative to those middle and small size creators.
Yeah.
As opposed to the big ones. Like the big ones aren't going to want to limit their distribution most likely to just a single store. Whereas that might make the most sense for a smaller developer.
Yeah, for sure. That is news for the week. So we'll run into what we have coming up next week. Taking a look at a graphics card. Oh. So
go ahead. Nope. Go.
Okay. On our social channels today, we posted a video about this graphics card, the Galax RTX 4070 EX Gamer graphics card. It's because Galax has a really cool mobile app that works with this. So you can see real-time stats of the card. So I have my phone sitting in front of me here, and I could have the stats running right now. I could see my temperatures. I could do all that. I could fully tune the card. I could do everything from the mobile app. We put that video out today. So if you want to check it out, it's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. It's on our YouTube. It's everywhere if you want to check that out. But yeah, pretty cool. 4070. First Galax graphics card that I've personally tested. And we have the white version that's here. So white, I'm a huge fan of white. And three RGB fans on in this as well. So I'll be taking a look at that. And also a interesting little cool little product. We're getting closer to the holidays. This would be a good stocking stuffer, I would say, for a lot of people. It's called the Cooler Master Gem. And it's basically a little headphone holder. But the cool thing about it is that, again, it's magnetic. So you can put it on your case as long as your case is steel, not aluminum. But on top of that, it has a magnetic hold side to it that you can put that on, say, like a tempered glass side panel. So I could put it like on this case that I have right here. And I can easily still use like the headphone holder. So it's a nice little thing. And it has like little grooves in it that you can like wrap your cables around so that they're not like, if you did have a headset that wasn't wireless, you could wrap the cable around to keep everything nice and tidy. So I'll have that for you guys next week as well. So as we come to the end, we started doing, if you guys don't know, every week we're going to have a question of the week. And this question, I thought about it because of all the stories we had about these refreshes and everything like that. And I'm going to pose this to you, obviously, Ryan, first. Yep. As a consumer, would you rather companies, and again, this has to do with CPUs and GPUs mainly. As a consumer, would you rather have companies come out with products like every 2 years as opposed to the refresh that we get every year? And again, typically, you know, refresh, we're not getting that much, but that every 2 years would be like a new generation.
So I would say, I think the 1 year, like if it was between 1 and 2 year, I would probably choose one.
Okay.
Every year, because I'm the type of person that I don't update every generation, right? So I'm that person still running the 2070 Super, right? Maybe looking at a 4070 Super now or whatever's coming out. But I want to know what those generational updates are, and seeing what came out like in the previous generation or the one, like, let's say I bought that 2070 Super. I didn't buy into the 30 series, but I want to be informed about what that next jump was, so that maybe when it comes around to, I'm a 2 year buyer, but I want to know about the 1 year cadence.
Okay.
Keep up with it, right? I'm interested in it, but my, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not the buyer that's going to update that often. I think 2 years is kind of like, you've got a long time period in between there of unknowns, like the jump, what's the next thing going to be at that 2 year, is a little more, I don't know, risky, I guess you could say.
I think for me, I it will never happen. Like the 2 year will never happen ever. Just because of that's not how companies run. They need to ship product and everything like that. I think one, the 2 year would give you that generational update that you want, right? It will give you that 25% performance boost. It will give you those new features. It will do like everything that everybody wants every year, you would get on that 2 year cadence. On top of that, it will allow prices to stay, like we don't necessarily have price issues currently, but it would allow the market to be incredibly stable up until that launch point, right? And it would also allow, when the new product comes out every 2 years, those previous gen products would probably drop in price dramatically compared to, like, again, if you're looking at like a 30 series graphics card now, they're still not necessarily incredibly cheap.
No.
You know, because they're still in the market. Now, I don't think, like I said, we'll ever get back to 2 years, but as somebody who, like, again, we're so mad at, you know, you go on Twitter, you go on Reddit the past day with 14th gen, like everybody's so mad and so upset at the 5% increase, because it's, again, you're not going to get, unless like when we saw Ryzen come out, obviously, there are some times when you'll see that massive boost. But I mean, if you look at all the marketing that we see, I mean, you know, NVIDIA is not comparing to the previous gen typically when it comes to things. Or if they are, it's like with all their software and other things built in to give you that better performance. So, I don't think we'll ever see a 2 year cadence on that. And the thing is, that happens with, like, that's happened with all products now too. I mean, we used to not see products,
like new cell phones for
a couple years, but again, they're publicly traded companies. They need to have sales. They need to have new products. They need to be the industry leader, and you can't be an industry leader if, again, like, you want, you know, AMD to say, hey, we have the best gaming CPU or gaming graphics card for a year at least, you know, or something like that. Because again, like with like this, like, again, iPhone 15 Pro, do I feel it's like some, even over the 12 Pro that I had, like we get these every year and like, there's not much difference really, unless there's some crazy change that doesn't typically happen. It's just like with like GoPros and cameras and everything. It's like every year you have a new one and it's like, nobody's happy anymore with like this incremental update. I don't know, but that's something I thought about today. Cause again, everybody's really upset and we're not getting these, you know, these big performance boosts and things like that. So, but yeah, let us know if you have any questions for us. We can add them to the question of the week. I have to share that with you on Google Docs. We have full
Google Docs. It's a surprise to me. I don't ever know it.
Full of questions.
But
I like to keep you on your feet if it is.
It's fine. You skipped, though. We had an article series come back this week.
Oh, I did skip that.
You didn't show it.
If you guys have been a fan of the website for a while, you knew that we used to do a series called Worst PC Setups. We do it every month, and we're bringing it back. As long as we can find pictures, we'll bring it back. So we brought it back for October. Basically, we find people who have really bad PC setups, and I do find it really interesting too. I find it interesting, but it always makes you feel better about your PC setup. Like, oh, my desk isn't clean or something. And then you see some of these and you feel a little bit better about your PC setup. It's in the articles section on the website. Just click on articles up here at the top and it'll be the first one that pops up. But like you can see, you know, this guy just moved, you know, and this isn't even that horrible, but he has like, you know, keyboard on a box and a couple monitors, like one's on the PC, one's, I don't know what the other one's on over there, you know, just a laptop that's facing the wrong way, you know, a small little desk here. This was just like moving boxes and a laptop, you know, and some alcohol down here.
Jim Beam,
you know, this one's, I don't know if that's even a desk or I can't even tell what that is.
It almost looks like a small ironing board or something.
Yeah. And then you have, I don't even know how somebody plays like this. Cause this, the keyboard's so close to the, and they have this. Yeah. I don't even know what's going on in this one.
Hopefully that's just somebody's test bench or something, but
yeah, or something. I don't know what's going on, but there's, yeah. This again, just doesn't look comfortable. Like look how small that desk is. So again, like you just feel, you feel a lot better about your setup seeing some of these. Yeah. This one isn't that bad, but they don't have a monitor. So they're running their SIM off of the little laptop here. And it's just on this this box here. So
waiting for an upgrade, hopefully.
Yeah. This one is...
This just looks like comfort, right? It's like, I'm not getting out of bed.
Because we have the quotes, like people leave... like that one says... it says renting a room, no space for a desk. So that's actually not a bad setup, I'd say. For like, you know, you have this really small room, no room for a desk or anything, but you got this, whatever this, however you got that going, that's pretty cool. And then this one is just,
oh my word.
I used to have a chair like this, like way back in the day, that was just like not comfortable. It's like a wooden chair. It was just incredibly not comfortable. And then there's this one. Look at this old tape deck in here. You know,
old man says he's using an old office desk that's 80 inches wide and 44 inches deep. That is big.
Yeah, it's big. Old man also said when we were talking about consoles, like console updates are 5 to 7 years sometimes. Like that is a long time. I think
that's where that buying the top of the line really makes sense.
Yeah, but I do think that when it comes to the consoles, the money is in the software. It's not, you know what I mean, like Sony's not profiting, like they're not profiting a lot on the hardware. It's all the software, all the games.
Yeah, licensing and everything.
Games, licensing, things like that. But yeah, we'll go to the second page here real quick. This is two people sharing us. Jeez, that is cramped.
Yep.
Look at this. Look at this little monitor, man. I couldn't imagine having a small monitor anymore. And
that power supply hanging off the side of the desk, like down here, pulled tight. Ugh.
Yeah. There you go, Ryan. That's your whole flying setup there with that. Yeah. I can't even imagine how old that monitor is. 20 years old.
And how much it cost, like, new. Like, yeah. That's old Apple Macintosh. Oh.
By the litter ball, that can't.
Yeah, that, you get getting litter in your. I've got that. I have that mouse pad, Matt, from IKEA.
This is just like in a little.
That's about as tight of a space as you can get.
Yeah, I've seen some really interesting people who turn like a closet into like a gaming.
Oh yeah,
thing. You can really do it if you like being in that small confined area. This is at a, I forget what he said, a fire lookout. Wildland fire compound. So like out in the middle of nowhere, they have a little gaming setup.
Cool.
It must have brought that with them. Oh man, these that's just cannot be comfortable at all. This little chair. Oh man. They put some supports here for this, probably this old chair that like,
oh, it was just like wood and yeah.
Not comfortable. They have their laptop supported this way, probably because it has fans under it and it like probably overheats.
Gosh.
Yeah. They have a fan here. Yeah. Another like laptop that probably broke
the case off. Yeah.
They ripped the case off and it's connected to this monitor because that's the only thing that it can do.
That's space savings right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And we're back to the beginning. So yeah, check this out. Like I said, we're gonna try to do it every month, as long as we can find these with they're like try to find these on Reddit and stuff like that. I totally forgot about that because I did it. We're gonna launch these on the 15th. Of every month, so I did it on the 15th. So cool. I totally forgot because that was a Sunday there. So as we come to the end, we talk about any related like tech stuff that we did or anything cool that we've done. Anything on your end?
Nothing I've done, but I got in two pieces of hardware yesterday. I got a case and a power supply. I'm waiting on a motherboard to show up. I've got everything else for this build, so I'm kind of consolidating multiple systems. Servers into one, and so it's a project article review combo.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that.
So
Ryan's gonna have working on that. I got a pretty interesting little
I got a new phone today too, so
oh yeah, Ryan finally got a new phone.
Yeah, Pixel 8 Pro. We'll see how it goes.
You haven't really messed around with it all that much?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I got a cool little desk gadget. That's this thing. And cool. It's like a little retro computer thing. And these are like real mechanical key switches on it, which is pretty cool. It's
obviously reacting to
sound. It's reacting to the sound. So like as I talk, that's how I have it set up. And then I just have the time. But this is like a cool little Pixel display. And you can actually like play games on it, like little Pixel games like
Snake.
Pong and yeah, like stuff like that. But you can set it. Like show the date, weather, like a bunch of cool stuff. There's also like a whole community of people making like gifts and stuff that you can put on here. There's a bunch of stuff, but we have a video coming out on our social channels about this, so it'd be really cool. But if you're looking for something like this is the Davoom D2 Pro. It's just cool. Like it's just cool, and I'm always looking for stuff to like make my setup look cool, and I put it on my personal Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And like everybody's like, where is that? Like, well, how can I get that? Like, what is it? So it's pretty cool. Something sitting on your desk. And like, if anybody comes in here, like I said, it obviously like reacts to sound. So they'll be like, oh, what is that? You know?
Yeah.
And you can like, as you can see, there's no cables connected to it. You can just charge it via USB on the back. So pretty cool.
Sweet.
But yeah, check, like I said, Instagram, YouTube, whatever, it'll be on there tomorrow, so I'll have that cool little video for you guys on there. And that is it, and we're gonna play some Apex. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am. I'm like back into Division 2 though.
Oh yeah,
you go every now and then. Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm kind of
I don't really want to play Division, but maybe if I get like
it would upset. Be more fun with more than, you know, it's just me running around right now, so it's
maybe we can do it. I'd have to reinstall it, but yeah,
I don't have to do it tonight. Maybe figure out
maybe time. We'll do another night, or maybe we'll jump on like over a weekend or something and just put the stream up and play. We can do that as well. So we will be over there, which is twitch.tv / Think Computers. Ryan has that stream up. Hopefully he doesn't have any more webcam issues.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that.
Yeah, so hopefully we have a clean stream for that. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. To everybody that was in the live chat, of course, Old Man Corey. Who else was in here? We had Davey in here as well. So good to see all you guys in the live chat. And, of course, everybody that listens later. And we will see everybody next week.